Okay, this evening now back to our study in the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 8. I'm taking the title for the message from verse 8. O thou fairest among women. The Lord Jesus Christ looks upon his bride and he has an eye for his bride and he says she's the fairest among 10,000. Fairest among women. That is how the Lord sees his elect. If you look for just a moment, turn one page over to chapter 4, verse 7. When I was reading through this afternoon, I found chapter 4, verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. No blemish. What did we read here just a little while ago? That he might sanctify and cleanse the church. He gave himself for it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy without blemish. How cleansing is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cleanses us from all our sin. Now we've studied verse 1 down through verse 7. How the believer loves and highly esteems the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there in the reading, thy love is better than wine. Better than anything in this world. His love toward us, we could say it this way. His love toward us is out of this world. It's infinite, for he's loved his church with an everlasting love. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He is altogether lovely. We do love him only because he first loved us. And he's always loved his people. He's loved them with an everlasting love. You remember in Romans chapter 5 where it says, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, our study today, we see the high regard the Lord Jesus Christ has for his people. As we think upon our sinfulness, we can identify with what the bride says in verse 5, I am black, I am sinful through and through, in and out. As we think upon our sinfulness, nothing is more heart-cheering and comforting to our heart to know that in Christ and in his eyes and in him, we stand complete in him. Of his fullness have we all received, what? Grace upon grace. Dressed in his beauty, his righteousness that's imputed to us. We know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing, but in Christ we stand complete. Holy, unblameable, unrebukable in his sight. He presents us before the Father's throne faultless. Can you get a hold of that? Faultless. Can you imagine that? We say with all the old saints of old, O wretched man that I am, chief of sinners, less than the least of all the saints, yet in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood and through his righteousness, he presents the church, his bride, to the Father, not ashamed to call us brethren. He presents us faultless. That's a miracle of grace, is it not? Miracle of grace. Black, but he says also in verse 5, comely, through that righteousness that's imputed unto us. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Lord, our righteousness. That's how we really are in Christ before God Almighty, as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what's true of the head, remember I've told you so many times, what's true of the head is true of the body. He's the head, we are his body. If his head is holy, his body is holy. We are one with him. I read from last week, we read Ezekiel 16. You remember the cast out infant that the Lord found and swaddled and cuddled in the time of love. And he said, you were perfect through my beauty, through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. In Psalm 50, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty God hath shined. We have the perfection of beauty in Christ. Yes, I'm sinful. Yes, I'm black. Yes, I'm ungodly. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect, spotless, unrebukable. And God has shined in our heart that we might see that. And that's the only way we'll see it. Only way we'll see that we're sinners, and the only way we'll see that Christ is our righteousness. As God commands the light to shine in our heart and gives us a revelation of ourself and of Him. And we say, He is altogether lovely. In the answer to the question that is asked in verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Why should I be turned aside from the flocks of these companions? And the answer to the question is asked in verse 7. Here is the way the Lord views His church, fair and beautiful in Him. And that is the way we truly are in His sight. In His sight. You remember John 17, He said, I in them, thou in me, that we may be made perfect in one. The Lord, look what it says in verse 8, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way, go forth by the footsteps of the flock. The Lord gently rebukes in love, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He rebuked the believer for their ignorance. If thou know not, O thou whom my soul loveth, where do you feed? That question is asked in verse 7. And then the Lord said, don't you know? Don't you know if you know not? Or since you do not know, O thou fairest among the women, since you do not know where the great shepherd feeds his flock, after all the evidence that has been given to you, thou art yet ignorant of me. We are by nature ignorant of God. Remember, Philip asked the question to the Lord after he'd been with him those 3 years. You remember what he said? Philip the apostle, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And the Lord said to him, have I been so long time with you that you don't know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Has to be a revelation. Because by nature, since you do not know, and by nature we don't, He's hid these things from the wise and prudent, and He has to reveal the gospel unto us. I don't get mad and upset at people who don't understand and don't believe the gospel. They're blind. I can't make them see. All I can do is preach Christ the light and pray that He turns on the light switch, that they might see, that they may see Him. But here's the Lord's instructions. Since you are ignorant and since you don't know, O thou fairest among women, go thy way, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Go the way that the flock is walking. Walk in their footsteps. Walk in their footsteps. I just thought of a scripture just popped into my mind just a moment ago when I read that. Go thy way forth by the footsteps. By the footsteps. Here's what just popped in my mind. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Go thy way by thy footsteps. And He delighteth in His way. God must order our steps. Now, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. These are the paths of faithful believers. The footsteps of the flock. The man whose steps are ordered of the Lord. These are the paths of the faithful believers. that have walked in the past, such as Abraham. Our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it. Walk like him. Abraham believed God. I want to walk like Abraham. He was called a friend of God. I want to walk like Moses. Our Lord said, Moses wrote of me. He said to those Pharisees, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me because Moses wrote of me. Walk in the footsteps of Job. Job, the man that was so sorely tried of God, said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then I like what he says. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Walk in the way as David, the sweet psalmist, the man after God's own heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Walk in that way, looking to the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. How about Peter? The Lord redeemed me with his blood. How about James? Of his own will begat he us with his truth. How about John? Behold, behold the Lamb of God. Walk in these paths of faith, love, trust, and submission, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow to his lordship. Keep walking in the way of salvation by his grace. Keep looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Go thy way. Go forth by the footsteps of those who have walked before. These all died in faith, persevering in faith. In the book of Jeremiah, we read, thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 6:16. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. What was that old commercial years ago about the yellow book? Let your fingers do the walking. Walk in that way. Walk looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall find rest for your soul. It's a good way. Walk therein, the old paths. I don't want to hear anything new. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the ancient gospel. There's nothing new about the gospel. It comes newly revealed, but it's as old as God. Our walk is a walk of faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's the old paths. The footsteps of the flock. That's his sheep. The flock there is his sheep. We walk looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way. He is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And then he says there, verse 8, by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kid beside the shepherd's tent. The shepherd's tent. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now who are these shepherds? They're the under-shepherds. The Lord himself is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. These shepherds are the under-shepherds, the pastors, the preachers of the gospel, faithful God-sent preachers of the gospel who feed the sheep by the preaching of the gospel. They preach Christ. They do not preach another gospel. They preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You remember the risen Lord, Peter and John, some of those men. You remember in John chapter 21, the risen Lord had gone away and they thought they were just out of the ministry. And some of the old writers think that Peter, when he said, I go fishing, he's walking away from the ministry and going back to his old trade. And they were out there fishing, and the Lord Jesus Christ came along the scene. And he asked Peter, said, Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord. I'll feed my sheep. What are you doing out here fishing? I told you I was going to make you the fishers of men. not out here fishing for fish. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yea. Hey, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Then he said, what? Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Only that church or that tent by the shepherd's tent where the gospel is preached, that's the shepherd's tent. Only that man who is preaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can say he's preaching the sheep, the shepherd's gospel in the shepherd's tent or the shepherd's church, that dwelling place. We preach Christ, nothing more, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. Feed the church of God, which He purchased. God promised in Jeremiah 3, He said, I will give you pastors according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And that's what we try to do when we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel, determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, the only Savior. And then notice, He said there, feed the kids. And I thought about this. What's He talking about? Feed them babes in Christ. Feed the sheep and feed the lambs. The babes in Christ. They need food too. They need food also. Save some for the... I used to go years ago, preach once in a while to a church up in Cottageville, West Virginia. This is back in the 80s, 40-some years ago. And there was an old brother in that church. Every time I'd go there, he said, now, make sure you save some preaching for the lambs. For the sheep, make sure you have something for the babes in Christ, for the lambs. I never forgot that. And then He calls the church the fairest among women. Though black in her own eyes and in the eyes of others, yet the fairest among all. Surprisingly fair, beautiful in His eyes, fairer than all others. His love and His salvation to us is an everlasting, unchanging love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how the Lord speaks of His bride in verse 15. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes, gentle, meek, humble. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many trials and troubles cannot quench the love that He has given to us. That love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Now, verse 9, 10, and 11... He compares His bride, the fairest among women. Behold, thou art fair, my love. He says in verse 9, I've compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Now, they tell me that Lexington, Kentucky is the horse capital of the world. And every spring they have that Keeneland thoroughbred sale, don't they? People from all over the world come to see those beautiful horses in the bluegrass of Kentucky. Solomon here, he went and bought thousands of horses down in Egypt. He went down to Egypt. And evidently they had a horse sale of all of the Pharaoh's great chariot horses. And he bought, you know how many horses he bought? He bought 40,000 horses. He bought them. What a comparison the Lord gives His church and compares them to specially chosen horses who are made beautiful through His comeliness. Horses in those eastern countries were highly valued, just like the thoroughbreds in Lexington, Kentucky. If you're going to go to that horse sale, you're going to have a lot of money. Solomon had all the money in the world, and he went down to Egypt and he bought his horses. The Lord has chosen us. I think probably Solomon individually selected each one of those 40,000 horses. He said, I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. He chose them. It was his choice. It was his will. It was his money. He bought what he wanted. Isn't that true what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? He spotted us out. He chose us. He elected us. He redeemed us and he made us his own. Isn't it quite remarkable that when we studied Revelation 19 and we saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, on his white horse, remember, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. See, he compares us to a company of horses. The best. He makes them the best. And the Lord Jesus, he chose out his people. He elected them unto salvation. Now, how can the Lord's church be compared to horses? Well, for their strength, horses are strong animals. For their strength, not in themselves, that is his people, but strong in Christ. He's our refuge. He's our strength. They're specially chosen, distinguished by his grace. We are called a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He makes us strong. He's distinguished us by his grace. Who makes you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? We're brought with a great price, his blood. He redeemed us. You reckon Solomon took good care of those 40,000 horses? Oh, they had the best care, didn't they? They had the best care. And we're under his care. Well fed with the finest wheat, corn, and the best oats, the bread of heaven, the manna from heaven. Those 40,000 stalled horses of Solomon's. They didn't have a care in their world, in the world. Clothed, housed, watered, well fed, taken care of. How much more the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Under the best guidance. These horses here weren't a bunch of wild Mustangs. You know, there's still thousands and thousands of wild Mustangs running wild out in Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, all them different places. Thousands of them. Sometimes I watch those YouTube videos about those wild horses. They just run wild. These horses here are under strict guidance. They're in submission to the captain of their salvation. God's people are not a bunch of wild Mustangs going in different directions, but under the yoke of his love, joined and coupled to his chariot, doing service under the master, pulling together in one direction. When he put those horses and yoked them together, pulling that chariot, they have to work as one, don't they? They can't be going this way, that way, back. They got to work as one. And they do because they're under submission to the one who is the Lord over them. And that's a good picture of God's people in Christ. Verse 10 is still describing this company of horses or this company of believers. He said, thy cheeks are comely. Their cheeks are beautiful. With rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thy borders of gold with studs of silvers. Now, he keeps describing these beautiful horses. Still, and the Lord is describing his bride. The cheeks, or someone has suggested the ears, or the face, adorned with costly jewels, typical of the costly gifts given to his church, the forgiveness of sin, and all spiritual blessings. Have you ever been in a We went to a parade one time in Ketchum, Idaho. Ketchum, Idaho. Where is that? You ever heard of Sun Valley, Idaho? That's Ketchum, Idaho. We went to a parade one time out there, and it was a parade that had nothing but horses. The whole parade was horses. Horses after horses after horses. And they were decked and jeweled, and down their bridles, they'd have their bridles and their saddles and all the different decorations, and the bridles, they would have jewels just flowing down. They're beautiful. That's the way the Lord has ordained us and adorned us. That's the word I'm looking for. And ordained us and adorned us with comely rows of jewels, your neck with chains of gold. Beautiful in Christ. Chains of gold, golden chains of salvation, which cannot be broken. Not one link can be broken. You know the thing about a chain? You take a chain, you know, a log chain, like a 3/8 log chain. Clark, you've got a lot of these log chains. That chain is only as strong as the weakest link. In this chain of salvation, there is no weak links. Whom he predestinated, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Those five links in that chain of grace, not one weak link. Not one weak link. The borders, verse 11. We will make. Now, why didn't it say, I will make? Why does it say, we will make? Thy borders of gold with studs of silver. Notice it says, we will make. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Salvation involves the whole blessed Trinity. The Father choosing, the Son redeeming, the Holy Spirit calling and quickening. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 1, isn't it? To the praise of the glory of his grace. Remember our Lord in the creation said, let us make man in our image. He said to Isaiah, who will go for us? For us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, these three are one. He told the church to baptize, go and make disciples, preach the gospel, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And notice, we will make the borders of gold. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We see the grace of the Lord, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. We will make thee. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works. By the grace of God, I am what I am. We are his workmanship. Remember Psalm 100 verse 3. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He made us. We will make thee borders of gold, solid. Gold with studs of silver. Borders of gold, I think, symbolic of the foundations laid by our Lord Jesus Christ. Solid, durable, everlasting gold. As good as gold. God said, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Paul said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ the Lord. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, with studs of silver. Silver and gold. He crowns his work with the precious metal of his grace. He gives us all grace now and all glory forever. I want to close by having you turn with me to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. Look at verse 1. Isaiah 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah. Look at the marginal reference. That is my delight. My delight. He delights in his church. For the Lord delighteth in thee and thy land Beulah. That is married. He delights in us and he has married us. For the Lord delighteth in thee and thy land shall be married. What a glorious picture. Aren't you thankful the Lord chose a people, married them in that eternal covenant of grace, and adorns them with robes of righteousness, clothes them with the garments of salvation, and he makes us in his sight altogether lovely.